You're listening to a 95 BFM podcast.
This week has been Te Wiki o Te Reo Māori, a centralised celebration of Te Reo Māori, as well as a time to reflect on revitalisation efforts. However, Te Reo Māori deserves to be spoken year-round, and efforts for revitalisation need to be taken by everyone throughout Aotearoa. This is why in 2019 the government and Te Tauira Whiri I Te Reo Māori, the Māori Language Commission, launched a plan to see 1 million basic speakers of Te Reo by 2040. To understand how the years since have shaped revitalisation efforts and what still needs to be done, I had a chat with Christine Amunton from Te Tauira Whiri about the goal. She first explained why 1 million speakers by 2040 was chosen as the benchmark.
That's the goal that we need, to know that the language is going to be passed on to next generations. So in 1973 onwards to the end of the 70s, there was a nationwide, well, it was based on the North Island study of the health of the Māori language in communities across New Zealand and, North Island. And what they found was that less than 5% of Māori children were fluent in Te Reo Māori. So the stats from Stats NZ came out a few months ago, and it's 1 in 4 Māori children are now being brought up with Te Reo as their first language. So that's when the health of a language is kind of secure and we can get to that benchmark where there are a majority of Māori children are able to converse in Te Reo as young people and carry it on. And when we also need for that to happen, other communities around that base of speakers to be supporting the language as well, because it can't just happen on its own. You know, there are things like normalising Te Reo, making it socially acceptable, all those things that didn't happen in most of the 1900s. That's kind of the goal, so that's why it's quite a big community strategy.
Does this mean that we are on track to seeing 1 million Te Reo speakers by 2040?
Yeah, well, we're doing really well. To be honest, the way that we measure that is going through the Ministry of Education. The biggest numbers coming through are children, young people. However, we do know that in the last year, I think we had 16,000 non-Māori people learning Te Reo through, you know, from tertiary institutions, Wānanga Aotearoa online courses. So in terms of numbers, I'm really sorry, I don't have the latest stats. We're looking good, but still not good enough. We will need to have sort of more contracted, sort of more focused work done on in-classroom initiatives.
How big of a role does this have for making sure that people are learning Te Reo from day one, from their childhood, having it? Is it worth implementing it through kindergarten, primary school, high school, and into tertiary education?
Yeah, well, the Stats NZ research this year sort of showed that most New Zealanders support Te Reo Māori in schools. I think it was actually like 3 in 5, something like that. I'll find the stats. So the understanding is that just to make it normal to be bilingual, make it normal to speak another language, and since Te Reo is our endangered language in New Zealand, it all just seems to make sense that we encourage young people of all ethnicities, you know, of all backgrounds, to learn some Te Reo Māori. We've got the Tamil community coming into our offices this morning because they came to us and said, hey, we've implemented weekly culture and language classes for our children and we want to include Te Reo as one of the things that they learn. So it's becoming quite normalised in lots of different communities to encourage children to speak Te Reo, to understand different parts of the language, yeah.
How big of a difference has setting the goal a few years ago made in terms of like making sure that we have a concrete area benchline that we can focus on reaching? Has this stemmed any new initiatives in the past few years?
I think that, you know, our organisation is both Te Reo, my team anyway, across Aotearoa, but then you've got the policy area, which impacts on schools, it impacts on government departments, well, all those sorts of levers that the state are able to use. So that's very important. But, you know, as well as those sorts of levers, we've also got the important influencing people through what they see on social media, what they see in their community around them. you know, not so much, not just compulsion, but having, making it cool, for lack of a better word, you know.
What are the most important factors in terms of seeing Te Reo normalised and seeing it spoken properly, basically, by a million people? What are the changes that we do need to make as a society to see this goal reached?
Yes, I don't know if I'd say what important, you know, what are the most important factors, but just sort of normalising it across our lives. So, for example, in Auckland, you have an Auckland Transport chief executive who a couple of years ago decided to make sure that all of your announcements were in English and in Te Reo Māori. And instead of just doing it for Māori Language Week as a one-off kind of thing, he's just put it into his BAU, you know, into the company's business as usual. Now it's on buses too. Countdown this year, this week, now when you go into Countdown supermarkets, you can use the Te Reo Māori option. It's not just all in English. So I suppose, you know, off the top of my head, the biggest normalisation kind of lever that organisations can do, or even, you know, individuals in whānau, is normalising it in our everyday lives, in our BAU. So, like how Countdown and Stuff are doing it now. So, started working with Stuff a couple of years ago, and they started printing stories in Te Reo Māori, and now they've hired a translator, and now, for the first time in 100 years, there's a mainstream newspaper in this country that prints news stories not just in one language. And it's not just one-off for Māori Language Week, it's part of how they do business now. Another initiative, I don't know if it's been in the media yet, is we released some Reo Māori pins this year, the little pins that you put on your, you know, your shirts, whatever, with our heitiki on it. Young workers at a couple of fast food outlets, McDonald's, one of them, they are bilingual people and they were keen to be able to speak Māori if customers came in and wanted to speak Māori. So now at McDonald's, their staff have, and a few other organisations, their staff will have the pin on, and if you see someone wearing it, that person's able to complete your transaction in Te Reo. So it's not, and it's not just for this week, it's forever. So I suppose that's kind of the most important thing in terms of those sorts of levers, is making it permanent, you know, not just for this week.
Yeah. Is people only making changes for this week a wide issue, or is it something that's frustrating but not too big as a whole?
No, we wouldn't. It's not a problem. It's just a way for people to become part of the Māori language movement. And then the next step is for them to look at their own, you know, sort of practices or what they do and just say, hey, are there some things that we can change and you know, do in Te Reo and just do it, you know, all the time. It was interesting, I was just doing an interview with a person on social media, and then their whole organisation is kind of anti-Te Reo Māori kind of thing, and they were quite surprised, I think, when I said, you know, having supermarket checkouts in other languages is normal overseas, and we work and support each other, the Irish Language Commission, Welsh Language Champions, you know, Scots Language Champions, they're going through the same kind of issues, trying to normalise their Indigenous languages in a land where English is dominating everything. And that's kind of the thing is that, you know, we could have, by the end of the next 100 years or so, we could have a world where there are only two or three languages spoken. And that would make us a very, very boring place, but it also is kind of a concern in terms of the cultural identity, the difference, you know, of people. So this is quite a large movement around the world to retain Indigenous languages and to make sure that they are understood as being part of the identity of humanity, you know. Otherwise, the experts around the world are predicting that we could end up with three or four languages by the end of, you know, in 200 years' time, which is something we're all working hard to not let happen.
So how can individual people see their Te Reo speaking improve from just knowing a few phrases to basic proficiency?
Mm-hmm. I'd probably say, if you can, go online first to reomaori.co.nz. That's our platform for resources, events. You know, you can find out where you can learn. It's an easy platform for you to even download and print out resources. So go on there and have a look around. There's lots of resources and ways that people can share with you how they're doing things. Yeah.
That was Christine Amundsen from Te Tautawhiti I Te Reo Māori chatting about the goal of having 1 million basic speakers of Te Reo Māori by 2040.
That was a 95BFM podcast. Support 95BFM with a B-card. Go to 95BFM.com/signup.